but cascaded viscously down the sides of the mountains, for this bound together what had gone before and established a base for what was to come. How long ago this building took place! How infinitely long ago! For nearly 40 million years the first island struggled in the bosom of the sea, endeavoring to be born as observable land. For nearly 40 million submerged years its subterranean volcano hissed and coughed and belched and spewed forth rock, but it remained nevertheless hidden beneath the dark waters of the restless sea, to whom it was an insignificant irritation, a small, climbing, pretentious thing of no consequence. And then one day, at the northwest end of the sub-ocean rupture, an eruption of liquid rock occurred that was different from any others that had preceded. It threw forth the same kind of rock, with the same violence, and through the same vents in the earth's core. But this time, what was thrown forth reached the surface of the sea. There was a tremendous explosion as the liquid rock struck water and air together. Clouds of steam rose miles into the air. Ash fell hissing upon the heaving waves. Detonations shattered the air for a moment and then echoed away in the immensity of the empty wastes. But rock had at last been deposited above the surface of the sea. An island, visible were there but eyes to see, tangible were there fingers to feel, had risen from the deep. The human mind, looking back upon this event, particularly if the owner of the mind has once stepped upon that island, is likely to accord it more significance than it merits. Land was finally born, yes. The 40 million years of effort were finally crowned by the emergence of a pile of rocks no larger than a man's body, that is true. But the event was actually of no lasting significance, for in the long history of the ocean many such piles had momentarily broken the surface and then subsided, forbidden and forgotten. The only thing significant about the initial appearance of this first island along the slanting crack was the fact that it held on and grew. Stubbornly, inch by painful inch, it grew. In fact, it was the uncertainty and agony of its growth that were significant. The chance emergence of the island was nothing. Remember this, its emergence was nothing. But its persistence and patient accumulation of stature were everything. Only by relentless effort did it establish its right to exist. For the first 10,000 years after its tentative emergence, the little pile of rock in the dead, vast center of the sea fluctuated between life and death like a thing struck by evil. Sometimes molten lava would rise through the internal channels and erupt from a vent only a few inches above the waves. Tons upon tons of material would gush forth and hiss madly as it fell back into the ocean. Some, fortunately, would cling to the newborn island, building it sturdily many feet into the air, and in that time it might seem as if the island were indeed secure. Then, from the south, where storms breed in the senseless deep, a mighty wave would form and rush across the world. Its coming would be visible from afar, and in gigantic, tumbling, whistling, screaming power, it would fall upon the little accumulation of rocks and pass madly on. For the next 10,000 years there would be no visible island. Yet under the waves, always ready to spring back to life, there would rest this huge mountain tip, rising 19,000 feet from the floor of the ocean. And when a new series of volcanic thrusts tore through the vents, the mountain would patiently build itself aloft for another try. Exploding, hissing, and spewing forth ash, the great mountain would writhe in convulsions. It would pierce the waves. Its island would be born again. This was the restless surge of the universe, the violence of birth, the cold tearing away of death. And yet how promising was this interplay of forces as an island struggled to be born, vanishing in agony, then soaring aloft in triumph. You men who will come later to inhabit these islands, remember the agony of arrival, the rising and the fall, the nothingness of the sea when storms throw down the rock, the triumph of the mountain when new rocks are lifted aloft. For a million years, the island hung in this precarious balance, a child of violence. But finally, after incredibly patient accumulation, it was established. Now each new lava flow had a solid base upon which to build, and inch by inch the debris agglutinated until the island could be seen by birds from long distances. It was, indeed, land. Habitable had there been existing men, with shelters for boats had there been boats, and with rocks that could have been used for building homes and temples. It was now, in the real sense of the word, an island, taking its rightful place in the center of the great ocean. But before life could prosper on this island, soil was needed, and as yet none existed. When molten lava burst upon the air, it generally exploded into ash, but sometimes it ran as a viscous fluid down the sides of mountains, constructing extensive sheets of flat rock. In either case, the action of wind and rain and cooling nights began to pulverize the newly born lava, decomposing it into soil. When enough had accumulated, the island was ready. The first living forms to arrive were inconspicuous, indeed almost invisible, lichens and low types of moss. They were borne by the sea and by winds that howled back and forth across the oceans. With a tenacity equal to that of the island itself, these fragments of life established themselves, and as they grew, they broke down more rocks and built more soil. At this time there existed on the distant continents visited by the ocean a well-established plant and animal society composed of trees and lumbering animals and insects. Some of these forms were already well adapted for life on the new island, but were prevented from taking residence by 2,000 miles of open ocean. Consequently, there began an appalling struggle. Life, long before man's emergence, stood poised on distant shores, pressing to make new exploratory journeys like those that had already populated the existing earth with plants and animals. But against these urgent forms stood more than 2,000 miles of turbulent ocean, storm-ridden, salty, and implacable. The first sentient animals to reach the island were, of course, fish, for they permeated the ocean, coming and going as they wished. But they could not be said to be a part of the island. The first non-oceanic animal to visit was a bird. It came probably from the north on an exploratory mission in search of food. It landed on the still warm rocks, found nothing edible, and flew on, perhaps to perish in the southern seas. 1,000 years passed, and no other birds arrived. One day a coconut was swept ashore by a violent storm. It had been kept afloat on the bosom of the sea by its buoyant husk, traveling more than 3,000 miles from the southwest, a marvel of persistence. But when it landed, it found no soil along the shore and only salt water, so it perished. But its husk and shell helped form soil for those that would come later. The years passed. The sun swept through its majestic cycles. The moon waxed and waned, and tides rushed back and forth across the surface of the world. Ice crept down from the north, and for 10,000 years covered the islands, its weight and power breaking down rocks and forming earth. The years passed, the empty, endless, significant years. And then one day another bird arrived on the island, also seeking food. This time it found a few dead fish along the shore. As if in gratitude, it emptied its bowels on the waiting earth and evacuated a tiny seed which it had eaten on some remote island. The seed germinated and grew. Thus, after the passage of eons of time, growing life had established itself on the rocky island. Now the passage of time becomes incomprehensible. between the arrival of the first unproductive bird and the second bearing in its bowels the vital seed, more than 20,000 years had elapsed. In another 20,000 years, a second bit of life arrived, a female insect fertilized on some distant island on the night before a tremendous storm. Caught up in the vast winds that howled from the south, she was borne aloft to the height of 10,000 feet and driven northward for more than 2,000 miles, to be dropped at last upon this new and remote island where she gave birth. Insects had arrived. The years passed. Other birds arrived, but they bore no seeds. Other insects were blown ashore, but they were not females, or if they were, not pregnant. But once every 20 or 30,000 years, a period longer than that of historic man, some one bit of life would reach the island by accident, and by accident it would establish itself. In this hit-or-miss way, over a period of time that the mind can barely digest, life populated the island. One of the most significant days in the history of the island came when a bird staggered in from some land far to the southwest, bearing in its tangled feathers the seed of a tree. Perched upon a rock, the bird pecked at the seed until it fell away, and in the course of time, a tree grew. 30,000 years passed, and by some accident equally absurd, another tree arrived. And after a million years of chances, after 5 million years of storms and birds and drifting sea-soaked logs bearing snails and borers, the island had a forest with flowers and birds and insects. Nothing that ever existed on this island reached it easily. The rocks themselves were forced up fiery chimneys through miles of ocean. They burst in horrible agony onto the surface of the earth. The lichens that arrived came borne by storms. The birds limped in on deadened wings. Insects came only when accompanied by hurricanes, and even trees arrived in the dark belly of some wandering bird, or precariously perched upon the feathers of a thigh. Timelessly, relentlessly, in storm and hunger and hurricane, the island was given life. And this life was sustained only by constant new volcanic eruptions that spewed forth new lava that could be broken down into life-sustaining soil. In violence the island lived, and in violence a great beauty was born. The shores of the island, weathered by the sea, were stupendous cliffs that caught the evening sun and glowed like serrated pillars of gold. The mountains were tall and jagged, their lower levels clothed in dark green trees, their upper pinnacles shod in ice, while the calm bays in which the grandeur of the mountains was reflected were deeply cut into the shore. Valleys and sweet plains, waterfalls and rivers, glades where lovers would have walked, and confluences where towns could have been built. The lovely island had all these accoutrements, these alluring invitations to civilization. But no man ever saw them, and the tempting glades entertained no lovers, for the island had risen to its beauty long, long before the age of man, and at the moment of its greatest perfection it began to die. In violence it had been born. In violence it would die. There was a sudden shudder of the earth, a slipping and a sliding. And when the readjustment was ended, covering a period of thousands of years, the island had sunk some 1,200 feet lower into the ocean, and ice never more formed upon its crests. The volcanoes stopped, and no new lava poured forth to create new soil to replace that which had sunk into the sea. For a million years, winds howled at the hills, the ocean gnawed away at the ramparts. Year by year, the island withered and grew less. It began to shred away, to shatter, and to fall back into the ocean from which it had sprung. A million years passed, and then a million more, and the island which had grown so patiently at the northwest tip of the great crack in the ocean floor slowly, slowly vanished. The birds that had fed upon its hills went elsewhere, bearing in their bowels new seeds. From its shore, fertilized insects were storm-blown to other islands, and life went on. Once every 20 or 30,000 years, some fragment of nature escaped from this island, and life went on. But as the island subsided, a different form of life sprang into increased activity. In the warm, clear, nutritious waters that surrounded the shores, coral polyps began to flourish, and slowly they left behind them, as they died, their tiny calciferous skeletons a few feet below the surface of the sea. In 1,000 years, they built a submerged ring around the island. In 1,000 more, they added to its form. And as the eons passed, these tiny coral animals built a reef. Ice melted in the north, and the coral animals were drowned in vast weights of unexpected water. The seas changed temperature, and the animals died. Torrents of rain poured down from island hills and silted up the shoreline, strangling the tiny coral. Or new ice caps formed far to the north and south, pulling water away from the dying island. Then the coral were exposed and died at once. Always, like everything to do with this island, throughout its entire history, the coral lived precariously, poised between catastrophes. But in the breathing space available, the coral built. And so it was that this tiny animal, this child of cataclysm, built a new island to replace the old as it gradually wore itself away and sank into the sea. How terrible this passage of life and death! How meaningless that an island that had been born of such force and violence, that had been so fair upon the bosom of the great ocean, so loved of birds, so rich in trees, so willing to entertain man should he ever arrive. How wasteful it was that this island should have grown in agony and died in equal agony before ever a human eye had seen its majesty. Across 1,000,000 years, down more than 10,000,000 years, it existed silently in the unknown sea, and then died, leaving only a fringe of coral where seabirds rest and where gigantic seals of the changing ocean play. Ceaseless life and death, endless expenditure of beauty and capacity, tireless ebb and flow and rising and subsidence of the ocean. Night comes, and the burning day, and the island waits, and no man arrives. The days perish, and the nights, and the aching beauty of lush valleys and waterfalls vanishes, and no man will ever see them. All that remains is a coral reef, a calcium reef on the surface of the great sea that had given the island life, a memorial erected by the skeletons of 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 little animals. While this first island was rising to prominence and dying back to nothingness, other would-be islands, stretching away to the southeast, were also struggling to attain brief existence, followed by certain death. Some started their cycle within the same 1,000,000 years as did the first. Others lagged. The latest would not puncture the surface of the sea until the first was well into its death throes, so that at any moment from the time the first island began to die, man, had he then existed, could have witnessed in this 2,000-mile chain of islands every sequential step in the process of life and death. Like an undulating wave of the sea itself, the rocky islands rose and fell. But whereas the cycle of an ocean wave is apt to be a few minutes at the most, the cycle of the rising and falling of these islands was of the nature of 60,000,000 years. Each island, at any given moment of time, existed certainly and securely within that cycle. It was either rising toward birth and significance, or it was perishing. I do not mean that man, had he been able to witness the cycle, could have identified which part of the cycle a given island was in. There must have been periods of 1,000,000,000 of years when no one could have ascertained that condition. But the impersonal, molten center of the Earth knew, for it was sending that island no new supplies of lava. The waiting sea knew, for it could feel the cliffs falling into its arms a little more easily. And the coral polyps knew, because they sensed that it was now time to start erecting a memorial to this island, which would soon be dead. That is, within 20 or 30 million years. Endless cycle, endless birth and death, endless becoming and disappearing. Once the terrifying volcanic explosions cease, the island is already doomed. Peace and calm seas and the arrival of birds bearing seeds are pleasant to experience, but the residence of beauty is surely nominated for destruction. A song at night of insects, the gentle splash of surf against the sand, and a new ice age is beginning which will freeze out all life. Limitless cycle, endless change. Toward the end of the master cycle, when the western islands were dying and the eastern were a-building, a new volcano pushed its cone above the surface of the ocean, and in a series of titanic explosions, erupted enough molten rock to establish securely a new island, which after eons of time would be designated by men as the capital island of the group. Its subsequent volcanic history was memorable, in that its habitable land resulted from the wedding of two separate chains of volcanoes. After the parent volcano had succeeded in establishing an island, its mighty flanks produced many subsidiary vents through which lava poured, whereupon a greater volcano, separated from the first by miles of ocean, sprang into being and erected its own majestic construction, marked by an equal chain of events. For eons of time, the two massive volcano systems stood in the sea in fiery competition, and then, inevitably, the first began to die back, its fires extinguished, while the second continued to pour millions of tons of lava down its own steep flanks. Hissing, exploding, crackling, the rocks fell into the sea in boundless accumulations, building the later volcano ever more solidly, ever more thickly at its base on the remote floor of the ocean. In time, sinking lava from the second master builder began to creep across the feet of the first, and then to climb its sides, and finally to throw itself across the exposed lava flows that had constituted the earlier island. Now the void in the sea that had separated the two was filled, and they became one. Locked in fiery arms, joined by intertwining ejaculations of molten rock, the two volcanoes stood in matrimony, their union a single, fruitful, and growing island. Its soil was later made from dozens of smaller volcanoes that erupted for a few 100,000 years, then passed into death and silence. One exploded in dazzling glory and left a crater looking like a punch bowl. Another, at the very edge of the island, from where it could control the sea approaches, left as its memory a gaunt headland shaped like a diamond. When the island was well formed, and what a heavenly, sweet, enchanting island it was, some force of nature, almost as if by subtle plan, hid in its bowels a wealth of incalculable richness. It could not be diamonds, because the island was 250 million years too young to have acquired the carboniferous plant growth that produced diamonds. It could not be either oil or coal for the same reason. It wasn't gold, for neither the age nor the conditions required for the building of that metal were present on this island. It was none of these commonly accepted treasures, but it was a greater. The volcanic basalt from which the island was built was porous, and when the tremendous storms